Lately, I've been using a new product that I really like. It's called Superbeads. It's based on Nobel Prize winning research and the nitric oxide principle. Nitrates are converted to nitric oxide in the body, which is the secret to Superbeads activity. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeads.com. That's 800-738-2198, intelligentbeads.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is a show that can help you achieve optimal health. And we like to think of this as one of the best-kept secrets in the field of medicine because, well, we talk about some of the things that you hear about in the mainstream media, but the coverage is it's kind of superficial, and we like to get to the story behind the story to provide you with useful tips on how you might implement some of the latest medical discoveries. So that's what we do each weekend, and we invite you to stay with us for an hour or two. 888-302-3684, that's our number, 888-302-3684. We invite you to call. And we'd love to hear from you. We welcome your phone calls. And we've got some interesting stuff to talk about this hour. We're going to talk about peanut allergy and a remarkable way in which we can overcome peanut allergy. Quite unexpected. A little later, we're going to talk to an expert on the subject of probiotics. 888-302-3684. Let's get going. All right, this is the very last day that we can talk about Heart Month for women. February is Heart Month for women. They say go red for Heart Month for women because there's an awareness that women, too, get cardiovascular disease. They get it a little later than men. We tend to stereotype cardiovascular disease. We tend to think of it as a guy's disease, but ultimately, probably about 8 or 10 times as many women die of heart disease than of breast cancer. Women are absolutely paralyzed with fear about breast cancer, but ultimately what gets them in the end is heart disease. So a very interesting study just came out, Journal of the American College of Cardiology, in time for Heart Month. Headline, Healthy Lifestyle Might Prevent Coronary Heart Disease in Women. Well, that's a big duh, right? You live a healthy lifestyle, and you're going to reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. But the remarkable part about that is the degree to which it will prevent cardiovascular disease. Nearly 75% of women could avert cardiovascular disease if they follow 6 healthy lifestyle habits. I'm going to give them to you in just a moment. But it's not like you got to run marathons. It's not like you got to eat a macrobiotic diet or strictly adhere to Atkins all the time to avert cardiovascular disease. Women who had 6 healthy lifestyle habits were, get this, 92% less likely to develop coronary heart disease than those who didn't have these habits. What are those habits? Okay, number one, and first and foremost, not smoking. Okay, that's a big duh, right? Don't smoke. That's one. Number two, greater than 2.5 hours of weekly physical activity, right? They don't specify what that involves, but I imagine it involves more than, walking around the block at a slow pace, maybe pick it up a notch, sweat, get out of breath. It's a challenge, but really what it involves is 5 one-half-hour bouts of physical activity. A healthy diet. Well, they don't specify what that is, but there's general guidelines, Mediterranean diet, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, some animal protein reducing your amount of overall simple carbohydrates, sugar, junk foods, making sure you get adequate sources of omega-3 fatty acids from oily fish. That's number three. A normal body mass index, keeping trim, sometimes easier said than done, right? But that's an important determinant of your cardiovascular risk. An average of less than or equal to one alcohol drinks per day. So they're not saying if you're a teetotaler, start drinking. They're saying limit your intake of alcohol. But if you drink a drink a day, that's not bad. And this is important. Number six, think about this one. They think that this is a big deal. This actually is part of the program for reducing your risk for cardiovascular disease. You ready for this? Less than or equal to 7 hours of weekly television watching, which is highly associated with cardiovascular risk in this study. And if I were a woman, I don't know, I might be a risk because I watch a lot of TV. I multitask and I work out and I do all the right stuff, but I do watch TV. All right. During 20 years of follow-up, they diagnosed 456 cases of heart disease, and it turned out that not smoking was by far the most beneficial of the six habits. But 73% of the risk of heart disease was attributable to poor lifestyle habits. So check that out. That's really important. 888-302-3684. That's our number. We got a call from Maddie, who's in Plainview, New York. How you doing, Maddie?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I've been to see you and with great results. I have a question. I am due for a routine endoscopy for a Barrett's esophagus I was diagnosed with, although I've had two in the past and they came out negative, which the doctor just doesn't believe.
Wow. But that's because you're doing all the right stuff we recommended, right? The right diet,
right.
You're taking EGCG, you're taking probably DGL,
Endofen.
Folic acid, Endofen, which is a great anti-inflammatory for the esophagus. You know, and Maddie, you're not the only person who has reported this, because I just had a patient last week who told me the same thing, is that they had had Barrett's esophagus. We put them on a program. They even went off the ranch and stopped taking the acid blocking medication that they were supposed to take for life. And I said, gee, I don't know, maybe that's not such a good idea. But they said, they feel fine, and they had a perfect endoscopy, just like you. So anyway,
right.
Go ahead.
So the question is this. I heard that some of the equipment was linked to the superbugs.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So here's the, let's talk about that. There was an outbreak in California at, I believe it was UCLA, which is a prestigious, hospital. It's even hard for a lot of people with certain types of insurance to get into UCLA. So the procedure that they did was not routine endoscopy. It was something called ERCP, where they go down same way as endoscopy, but they go down with, an additional thin tube, and they go right into the pancreatic ducts, and they look around inside the bile ducts in the pancreas. And this is a test sometimes to see if people have blockage of those ducts, even sometimes ascertain whether they have pancreatic cancer. It's not done that often, and the equipment for that is different. It's a specialized type of equipment. I mean, it starts the same way. You go down the throat, but then you use a special tube to go into the pancreatic ducts, the bile ducts. And it appears that there was a change in the design of the device, but they didn't tell them to change the procedure for sterilizing the device. It required maybe a higher order of sterilization. And as a result, it didn't kill the highly resistant bacteria, the CRE, it's carbenicillin-resistant enterococcae, which really is a nasty bug. No antibiotic touches that. And it's a little bit like MRSA, but that's a staph. This is an enterococcus bacteria. And we're seeing more and more of these terrible resistant bacteria develop. Anyway, it was a real snafu, because the manufacturer, probably they're going to have to shell out big bucks, because they miscommunicated the sterilization procedure to the people in the hospital, and so they didn't clean the instruments properly. But this is a rare kind of event. I got to say that, you know, whenever you have a procedure, there's some risk that it'll go awry. You know, just like when you get in a plane, you rarely crash, but hey, you know, stuff happens. This is, you know, these are mechanical devices. And, that you know, there can be errors, there can be failures. But I don't think that this should preclude you getting an endoscopy. Another consideration, though, in getting an endoscopy, and there's been a whole question as to whether people with Barrett's should get routine endoscopies. There actually was an editorial in a major medical journal, I believe it was New England Journal of Medicine, which questioned routine endoscopies in people with Barrett's esophagus because, A, it's super expensive because we've got, you know, well over a million people with Barrett's, and every year they're supposed to show up for an endoscopy. And does it make a difference in reducing the risk of esophageal cancer? Well, according to the analysis, it doesn't really make much of a difference. So why do it? And, you know, I'm not going to get into that argument of, you know, should we ration health care? And based on studies like this, should we save health care dollars and deny people procedures that that will give them peace of mind that they're not getting cancer? But I deal with Barrett's esophagus, as you know, Maddie, quite a lot. And we deal with it not just by telling people to take acid-blocking medication for the rest of their lives, but by giving them the right nutritional support, because this is a pre-cancer that occurs in the esophagus, and it can be slowed with the right kind of nutritional support. As I said, you know, things like you're taking EGCG, DGL, Endofen, folic acid, not necessarily folic acid, but folate. Folate is preferable for cancer prevention. What else are you taking? Did I miss anything? Fish oil, omega-3?
Fish oil, curcumin.
Curcumin, which is a wonderful anti-cancer nutrient, right? Okay.
I can't.
Well, you know, the reason you're taking EGCG is because esophageal cancer is big in Asia. And what they discovered was that drinkers of green tea have a much lower incidence of esophageal cancer. And so that's how they got started on EGCG being an anti-cancer agent, is from the observation in Asia that big tea drinkers didn't get as much esophageal cancer, which is common in that part of the world. Anyway, so, you know, go ahead. You can get the procedure with peace of mind. It's not the same thing that happened at UCLA is not going to happen to you. But that, you know, it's a cautionary tale, is that stuff happens. It's high-tech medicine, and sometimes mayhem can ensue. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We'll be back with more of your questions, and we'll talk about the peanut butter question. Should we be telling kids to avoid peanut butter, or au contraire, according to the new study?
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system, because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast, at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. Peanut allergy, it's a really big thing. You know, when I was a kid, they didn't make a big deal about that. And, you know, we brought our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school and we swapped them. And there were peanuts on planes. And you could actually bring baked goods to the Halloween carnival and to birthday parties. And now it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Kids can't take peanut butter to school anymore. And some airlines don't even serve peanuts because they're afraid that the aroma of the peanuts is going to waft among the passengers and trigger an allergic reaction. And there's a change. The prevalence has quadrupled in the past 13 years. In 1997, that's fairly recently, that's less than 20 years ago, the prevalence of severe peanut allergy was less than 0.5%. By 2006, it had become 1.5%. And now it is more than 2%. It is the leading cause of anaphylaxis and death related to food allergy in the United States. So it's very important that we figure out a way to cope with peanut allergy. So a lot of people say, well, you know, don't give young kids peanuts because they'll become sensitized to them. And especially you might think, well, hey, if somebody in the family has profound allergies, a sibling, father or mother, keep the kid away from peanuts so that they don't become allergic to peanuts. Well, according to a big study just published in the New England Journal of Medicine, au contraire, it's actually the opposite. They took a bunch of kids who came from families where they suspected that the kids might become allergic. These families had a strong history of allergy. And as a precaution, they skin tested the kids because they figured if these kids, they're very young. They were less than 11 months of age. In fact, many of them were 4 to 6 months old. And they skin tested them with a prick test to make sure that they didn't have profound allergy to peanuts. And that disqualified some of them because some of them out of the box had very profound allergies. But the rest had either, you know, minimal responses or borderline responses, a little bit sensitive, but not so sensitive. And here's what they found. They found that there was a striking preventive effect of introducing peanuts early for these kids. Among the children initially had a negative skin prick test, the prevalence of peanut allergy was 14% in the group that avoided peanuts. 14%, that's very high. And just 2% in the group that had peanuts. Among those who had a little bit of a wheel to peanuts, the prevalence was 35% in the avoidance group and just 10% in the consumption group. So having peanuts actually helped to desensitize the kids. Now, don't try this at home because you got to be careful. But under the supervision of a qualified allergist, this is something that you could consider. Have your kid tested, then deliberately feed your kid peanuts, and then you can actually possibly avoid peanut allergies later. Maybe this applies to other foods. We have to do more studies to find out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number, so call us.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great. Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I've been treating psychiatric problems with nutrition for, well, nearly 30 years now, virtually my entire holistic medical career. And I've long been aware that there's a big impact of diet, nutrition, and specific supplements on psychiatric conditions. And so it was with a great deal of satisfaction that I saw an article in a recent edition of The Lancet, the world's most widely read medical journal, entitled Nutritional Medicine as Mainstream in Psychiatry. And better late than never. And it's a very, very strong acknowledgement that nutrition plays a role in mental health. I'm quoting from the article, "Diet is as important to psychiatry as it is to cardiology, endocrinology, and gastroenterology." This comes to us from the International Society for Nutritional Psychiatry Research. And they say here, the human brain operates at a very high metabolic rate and needs a lot of fuel. It is reliant on amino acids, fats, vitamins, and minerals, or trace elements. So it stands to reason that nutrition is important for the brain, as it is for the entire body, but in particular the brain. They quote a recent study that has confirmed a relation between unhealthy dietary patterns and poor mental health in children and adolescents. That is a big duh, right? Poor diet and poor mental health. They are linked. They are now about to get underway a new study to test the effectiveness of dietary improvement as a treatment for major depression. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, we've been doing that for a long time. They cite as examples of supplements that are good for the brain: omega-3 fatty acids, SAMe, N-acetylcysteine, zinc, B vitamins, especially folic acid, and vitamin D. Specifically, omega-3 fatty acids can be used for bipolar depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, major depression, prevention of psychosis. They talk about clinical trials for SAMe as an effective antidepressant. They note that zinc deficiency has been linked to increased depressive symptoms. B vitamins are needed for proper brain function. A deficiency of folate has been reported in depressed populations and in poor responders to antidepressant medications. They talk about vitamin D. Low maternal levels of vitamin D are implicated in schizophrenia risk in the offspring. Deficiency of vitamin D is also linked to increased depressive symptoms, and on and on and on it goes. So bottom line in this article, and I'm glad to see it in a mainstream medical journal for all doctors to see, but we should have realized this long ago. They say, quote, "Now is time for the recognition of the importance of nutrition and nutrient supplementation in psychiatry. Nutritional medicine should now be considered as a mainstream element of psychiatric practice, with research, education, policy, and health promotion supporting this new framework." And I say, hooray, high time. Very good to see this in a mainstream medical journal. All right, when we return, we're going to take an in-depth look at probiotics with an expert, Ross Pelton. He's been a guest here before. Dr. Ross Pelton will join us in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kambuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku Lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, there's a tie-in between our previous topic, which is nutrition and psychiatry, and our next guest is going to talk to us about probiotics. There is a gut-brain connection. In fact, a new medical journal was recently launched under the auspices of Dr. David Perlmutter. Those of you who listen to our weekday podcasts via drhoffman.com know that Dr. Perlmutter is a frequent guest, and he's an expert on the nutritional connection to brain disorders, neurological conditions. And there's actually a medical journal which is going to devote itself in its entirety to the relationship between the gastrointestinal tract and the brain. So literally there is a connection between the microbes in your gut and your mood and your brain function. And so to talk to us today about probiotics, we have Dr. Ross Pelton. He's been a guest before here on Intelligent Medicine. He is a pharmacist. He is a certified clinical nutritionist. He is also the author of numerous books, teaches continuing education programs to health professionals, and he is the scientific advisor for Essential Formulas, the makers of Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. He joins us today to discuss why the probiotic revolution is going to be the new frontier in health and medicine. So welcome, Dr. Pelton. It's nice having you back.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Nice to be with you and your listeners again.
Well, okay. So, you know, you talk about the probiotic revolution, and it's now thought to be offer the promise of being the new frontier in health and medicine. What is meant by that?
Well, the research in probiotics is exploding at an exponential rate. Bacteria were first observed under a microscope in the 1600s. And then in 1907, the Nobel Prize winner Eli Michnikoff used probiotics therapeutically for the first time. And in the 100 years since then, we've started to realize how important these probiotics are to our health and regulating many things in our body. And after the completion of the Human Genome Project in 2003, the funding for the Human Microbiome Project came into line. And the human microbiome is the project that funded this. All of this research is starting to explode. There's over 190 publications on the human microbiome website in the last several years starting to tell us, because we can sequence the genome of the bacteria now and find out what they do and how they function. We're starting to find out that 99% of the DNA in our bodies is the DNA of our microbiome. They control everything. You just mentioned your previous guest talking about the relationship between the gut and the brain. I think it's absolutely fascinating that the vagus nerve, which is the information highway between the gut and the brain, 20% of the vagus nerves are carrying information from the brain to the gut, but 80% of the vagus nerve fibers are sending information from the gut to the brain. So the majority of the communication between the gut and the brain is the gut and your gut bacteria communicating with your brain. So it's a fascinating new frontier.
So literally, your probiotics can have an impact on your brain. But I also understand that there's a reverse activity, which is that people who are subject to chronic stress, it actually can change their intestinal flora, correct?
That's true. You bet. That things
so it's,
like
a two,
that.
It's a two-way highway.
It absolutely is a two-way highway. But we're really starting to find out that the bacteria in our gastrointestinal tract are one of the foundations of health and wellness, and we really need to understand how to control this for our benefit.
Okay, so, you know, clearly there are a lot of things that conspire against us having a good flora balance in our intestinal tract. So what are the things, you know, from birth that undermine our optimal microbiome?
Well, it's very important to have a natural vaginal birth. Infants that don't get born with a natural vaginal delivery miss out on getting their initial exposure to probiotics from the mother's vaginal canal. So I highly recommend that women who give birth with a C-section make sure they start giving their infant probiotics right from the beginning. And I recommend that they use Dr. O'Hara's and that they bite the capsule, squeeze the contents out, put it on their finger, and put their finger in their child's mouth and rub the probiotics around in the child's mouth, and that gets them exposed to good bacteria. Nursing is extremely important. Not only do we know that mother's milk contains growth factors that promote the growth of good bacteria, but scientists have now discovered what they call an enteromammary pathway that delivers bacteria from the mother's intestinal tract to the breast milk. So the nursing infant is actually getting the mother's bacteria from her gastrointestinal tract through the lymphatic system into the breast milk.
Well, and then also, of course, the skin contact, you know, because you swab iodine on your breasts, you know, it's not like a sterile procedure, and you're actually getting exposure to healthy bacteria.
Yes,
so clearly,
absolutely.
Okay, so that's the prenatal experience. But then, you know, so many kids these days, they get the ear infections. I mean, I think I read a statistic where the average kid receives two antibiotics per year.
Yeah, And there's associations between the number of antibiotics that kids get and the development of ADD and ADHD. So we know that the antibiotics are killing off all the good bacteria, and that sets the stage for problems throughout life. But in addition
Crohn's
to
disease,
the
asthma, all these other ailments, autoimmune diseases can be associated with imbalances.
It's all being tied in. It's a interesting web. And probiotics are right at the foundation of this whole issue. And then kids have junk food diets, and the environment is more toxic than it's ever been in recorded history, and stressful lifestyles. And so all of these things contribute to developing the wrong types of bacteria, because you feed good food and the good guys grow, and you feed junk food and the bad guys grow.
And there's another phenomenon that I've noticed, because, you know, when I was young, even during my training, they didn't do this, but I noticed that one of our staff people, she has a young child, it's a four-year-old boy, and he developed some kind of gastrointestinal problem, because he goes to school, all these kids, and, you know, they touch each other and develop all kinds of gut problems, and he was having tummy aches. So the doctor gave him like a pediatric form of an acid-blocking medication, a pediatric Zantac. So, you know, we know that adults take that, and that changes the intestinal flora and can even increase the risk for Clostridium difficile diarrhea.
Yep, absolutely. And There are multiple classes of drugs that really interfere with your probiotics. But the antibiotics are number one, but the acid-blasting drugs that you just mentioned are horrible. Birth control pills influence your acid-base balance in the gastrointestinal tract, which makes women more susceptible to dysbiosis. Mm-hmm. So there are multiple classes of drugs that are causing huge problems.
Interesting, yeah. So you mentioned Dr. Ahira's probiotic, and I really got onto this I was a really early adopter of Dr. Ahira's probiotic, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of probiotics out there. And frankly, and I think you'd have to admit too, as an expert on probiotics, we don't know all the answers about probiotics. It's a science that it's in its infancy. But Dr. Ahira is based on a very, very ancient tradition in Japan where they're very good at developing, in essence, they didn't know it, but these are functional foods. They were developing fermented foods that, like natto and yeah. miso and things like that. And they're experts in developing these probiotic mixes. So tell us a little bit about the characteristics of that. And that's safe for a child, too, as well.
Absolutely. Totally safe for everyone. And the real unique thing about Dr. Ahira's is the production method. There is no other probiotic that is produced in this manner. Dr. Ahira's probiotics are allowed to grow in huge fermentation vats for 3 to 5 years. And they're growing at room temperature. So they learn to survive and thrive at room temperature. They don't have to be freeze-dried and refrigerated and so forth. And during the 3 to 5 years of fermentation, the bacteria are producing all of the metabolic byproducts that are the immune system-enhancing components that other probiotics don't begin to produce until they get established in your GI tract. So when they encapsulate Dr. Ahira's, not only are you getting 12 strains of synergistic bacteria, you're getting a therapeutic loading dose of all of these immune system-enhancing components. And I think that that's probably more important than the bacteria themselves.
And then there's the notion of prebiotic. Can you talk to that issue?
Yes, prebiotics are the food for your probiotics. And prebiotics are non-digestible starches that go through the human gastrointestinal tract. But when they get to the large intestine and the colon, your good bacteria are able to digest these non-digestible starches, and that's the primary food for the probiotics. So if we're eating a high-fiber diet, that ends up being the primary food and the most desirable food for probiotics.
Now, there's a big controversy about these body counts. You know, people look at the box, and the box will say it has 1 billion organisms, and another brand will be like, oh, we've got 10 billion. No, the other one has 60 billion organisms. And so I think people are often looking at that as a statement of quality or potency, you know, just like you might look at a multivitamin or like vitamin D, like mm-hmm. there's a count associated okay. with it. But Dr. Ahira's does not produce a count on the product. So does that mean that it's less potent?
No, it does not. And you brought up an excellent point. There's a real misconception that the higher the count equals a greater efficiency or a better quality. What they're actually starting to find out now is a lot of the higher count probiotics are producing immune reactivity. Because one thing people don't realize is when you take a probiotic, you're really not taking your own bacteria. You're taking bacteria that will support the growth and proliferation of your good bacteria. But in most cases, the probiotic products contain probiotics or strains of bacteria that are not really your resident bacteria. And if you take a massive dose of it, your body says, hey, these are not normal in our mm-hmm. system, and you yeah. start to mount an alarm immune reaction.
We see that sometimes in sensitive individuals. It can actually mm-hmm. backfire if they take something that's too strong.
Yes. And let me share one other thing with you, sure. Dr. Hoffman, your listeners. Next month at Expo West.
I was going to ask you that. I'm glad you're going to mention that because I didn't know whether this is, I thought this information might be embargoed, but you're on the West Coast and you're going to roll out something new and exciting.
Very
so tell
exciting.
Us about it. Yeah.
We have a new strain of bacteria called Lactobacillus fermentum ME3. It dramatically increases glutathione levels, and it does it by three different mechanisms. There's never anything that's been discovered that is able to use three different mechanisms to increase glutathione in the human. And glutathione is the master antioxidant. It is the most important antioxidant in our bodies. It protects every cell in your body, and it detoxifies toxins and on and on and on. And the strain of bacteria.
In other words, instead of taking it as a supplement, which it breaks down, it's not that well absorbed. It's nice to take it as a probiotic that generates it inside your body.
That's correct.
Very interesting.
Very big story that's going, and we're saying this, we're calling it a multifunction probiotic because it has multiple biological effects. It's very exciting.
I think you're going to steal the show at that big expo. Literally, there are thousands and thousands of products there, but I think you're going to make a big splash at that. I mean, that's like a gigantic show, and I think you're going to really.
I'm telling people this new strain of probiotics goes beyond what people normally think of a probiotic. This is going to be a revolution in health and medicine and science.
Okay, great. You know, in the remaining time, you know, we've got about a minute or so. Talk to us a little bit about the relationship between the proper gut flora and metabolism, because really exciting information now. I mean, that bacteria may actually govern one's risk for diabetes, insulin resistance, but even have an impact on weight. How about that?
Absolutely. There's a really key relationship between probiotics and how we extract carbohydrates from food. And we're finding out that if you have too many bacteria that are really efficient at extracting carbohydrates, you put in a lot of weight and you become obese. You're part of the obesity epidemic. So now we're understanding how to regulate the diet and provide the food that preferentially has the bacteria growing that don't make you obese. And you're right, the probiotics are the key foundation for regulating digestion and absorption of your nutrients, and they are little vitamin factories. They produce all the B vitamins and vitamin K, so they're just really critical for getting the nutrients broken down and then digested into your system and absorbed so they get delivered to all your cells.
And one of the ways they found out about this is they did animal experiments where they transferred fecal material from fat animals to thin animals. They made the thin animals fat. And conversely, the fecal material from the thin animals helped the fat animals lose weight. And then they had a really weird case of a woman who was being treated for severe diarrhea with a fecal transfer, which is now becoming more popular. And they cured her diarrhea. She was wasting away. She was like 85 pounds. But then she gained an enormous amount of weight because she got it from the wrong. She got it from the wrong donor. She got it from an obese donor. And so now instead of wasting away, she's fighting overweight because she got the wrong flora. Anyway.
Very interesting story, yeah. And there was another fascinating study done where two strains of mice are developed. One is highly anxious and timid, and the other is bold and exploratory.
Mood effects, yes, mood effects, absolutely. I've talked about that it can impact your mood. So good stuff. All right, Dr. Ross Pelton, we can give out the information. Dr. Ahira's probiotic. Find them at Essential Formulas, and they're one of our good sponsors, so listen to our product announcements. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Ross Pelton. Website is essentialformulas.com.